KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, K201DA King Cove, KFPS False Pass.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. The cost of insurance is one expense of keeping a roof over your head, whether you're a homeowner or a renter. Rising prices of insurance premiums put coverage out of reach of more residents. Native American homeowners already have the highest uninsured rate. Increasing natural disasters, rising property values, and complexities of insuring homes located on tribal land are hurdles that contribute to the problem. We'll hear about trends for home insurance and strategies to keep costs as low as possible right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Navajo Nation citizen has been nominated by President Donald Trump to serve as Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs. The nomination of William Kirkland was sent to the U.S. Senate on Monday, according to the Congressional Database. The Navajo Times reports Kirkland is a political strategist from Georgia who's worked in the state's political landscape. He also served in various positions during the first Trump administration. Kirkland is said to have played a role working with tribes on the issue of missing and murdered indigenous women, helping with the Trump administration's response through Operation Lady Justice. He was honored during a reception at the Navajo Nation Washington office in January, the night before President Trump took office. Kirkland gave brief remarks at the reception. In an audio recording provided by Indians.com, Kirkland said, "Anytime we can get Indian country more involved, whether it's here in Washington or in the states, or the inaugural events," he said, "we definitely want to do so." He added, "the White House will continue to have an open door policy with all tribal nations." If confirmed, Kirkland will replace Brian Newland, who resigned at the end of the Biden administration. Just a day after the Acluna Tribe's casino opened to the public near Anchorage, the state of Alaska filed a lawsuit against the federal government that, if successful, could shut it down. The lawsuit claims federal agencies misused their legal authority to allow the gaming operation to go forward. The native village of Aklutna opened a small gaming hall to the public on Monday with 85 electronic bingo machines, following years of legal debate over whether it could do so on a native allotment. The state has argued that tribes do not have jurisdiction over its lands in Alaska, but last year the U.S. Interior Department gave the tribe the green light to pursue the gaming hall. Just a few days before Trump was sworn into office, then Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs Brian Newland gave the tribe final approval for the project. The Chenon Gaming Hall opened in just 4.5 days, made up of trailers that were quickly moved onto the lot. The lawsuit has not affected the gaming hall's operations yet. The tribe's president, Aaron Leggett, says Governor Mike Dunleavy and his attorney general, Trey Taylor, have asked for a court order that could cause enormous damage to the tribe and the community. In a statement, Leggett said, "I am disappointed for my people and my ancestors who have worked diligently for generations to get to this moment." He says the tribe will stand up to the legal challenge because it knows its case is strong. Yellowstone bison from the United States make it to Canada. Wyoming Public Radio's Olivia Wheats has the details.
In recent years, Yellowstone bison have been rehomed to tribes across the U.S. Last week, for the first time, the Bison Conservation Transfer Program sent them to Canada. Shammy Anderson, with the nonprofit Defenders of Wildlife, helped with the transportation logistics. She says 11 bison traveled on a 700-mile route from the Fort Peck tribes in northeastern Montana to a tribal nation in Saskatchewan.
Lots of singing, and the whole community was, you know, yelling and happy and just absolute jubilation. It was really, really remarkable.
Chief Tanya Stone of Mosquito, Grizzly Bear's Head, Lean Man First Nations said in a press release, quote, "These buffalo are coming to us as a family group led by a matriarch. This beautiful gift is deeply meaningful as we collectively rebuild our relationship to them as they teach us perseverance, strength, and determination," end quote. I'm Olivia Wheats at the Center of the West in Cody.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. More at aarp.org. See Renewal's expertise in energy, housing, land use, fire protection, and more in multi-jurisdictional environments helps tribes leverage existing assets, grow capacity, and gain competitive advantage. See Renewal supports this show. SEERenewal.com. Support provided by First National Bank Alaska, offering a one-solution, tailored approach to meet the financial needs of Alaskans by providing banking services, loans, investments, and more to help shape a brighter tomorrow. Learn more at fnbalaska.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. In the wake of billions of dollars in damage from fires in California, State Farm, the country's largest home insurer, is asking for a 22% hike in home insurance rates in that state. That scenario is being played out all over the country, especially in areas hit hard by an increasing number of floods, fires, tornadoes, and other natural disasters. Combined with rising home values and construction costs, insurance rates are soaring, leaving more homeowners choosing to go uninsured. Native Americans already have the highest uninsured rate for homeowners. Rural areas and complexities with regard to ownership on reservation lands are additional factors limiting access to coverage. In this hour, we'll talk about trends for home insurance and discuss ways to help lower the costs. Join us by calling 1-800-996-2848. Is home insurance expensive where you live? Do you have a mortgage which requires you to have home insurance? 1-800-99-NATIVE, that is the number to call to join today's conversation. On the line in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, we have Jerry Killer. She is the Senior Deputy Executive Director of the Housing Authority of the Cherokee Nation. She's also a Cherokee Nation citizen. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. Joining us from Santa Ana Pueblo in New Mexico is Leah Cristobal. She is a business development specialist for Amerind, and let it be known that Amerind is an underwriter for Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. Leah is Santa Ana Pueblo, Tlingit, and Tsimshian. Hi, Leah. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Leah. And from Kalispell, Montana, we're joined by Michael Vanderwerker. He is a licensed insurance broker with Hub International Insurance. Hello, Michael. Good to have you on the show as well.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
All right. Well, Jerry, let's begin with you. And can you explain the role of a tribal housing authority with regard to homeowners insurance? Does Cherokee Nation help offset or reduce the cost of insurance for citizens who own homes, or maybe people that don't own homes? Maybe they rent or they lease.
So for the tribal citizens who own their own homes, we do have a program that we offer actually through Amerind. It is a Community Shield program that we offer to citizens who qualify. It is a program that actually is very competitive in pricing for people who are on restricted property. So there's going to be, in Oklahoma, it's going to be a lot different than people who are on a reservation land or restricted land. In Oklahoma, we have fee simple land and we have restricted land. And so there's going to be a lot of differences in the types of coverages they can get. If you're on fee simple land, your coverages are going to be, you have more options for coverages. If you're on restricted property, you have less opportunity for coverages. So with Amerind, they've got a little more opportunity. And for people who come through our programs and who have funding with NAHASDA. So with the Housing Authority, we have that option for them. We do not offset those costs, but we do offer some options for payment for them.
What are those options?
So we, instead of making them pay options, making them pay everything all at once, we offer them some monthly options. Some lower payments for them, just figure out what their payment is to work with and what their budgets are.
And the trend there in Oklahoma in terms of insurance costs, are you seeing a rise like in other parts of the country?
Absolutely we are. You know, in Oklahoma, we are here in Tornado Alley. So we have tornadoes all the time. Not only in the springtime do we see them, but we're also seeing them in the fall as well. We also have, in the wintertime, our ice storms are becoming more and more severe. Our wind and hail storms are becoming increasingly more severe. So our weather here is volatile all the time. So our premiums, our insurance here are constantly rising. It is a constant threat to us here in Oklahoma.
And those rising premium costs, are those predictable at all? Do they follow an overall arc of any way to account for them or prepare for them? Or do they just kind of go up and down as time continues?
They kind of go up and down. I mean, I think every year we all just expect it. We all, there's no predictability in it. We just know that it's coming. But there's no real predictability in it. We just know it's coming.
Are there any situations where people are actually paying more for their insurance than they are for a mortgage payment?
There could be. There's nothing that comes directly to mind, but I know that in a lot of cases, when people come to us with quotes, because to receive some of the services that we offer for home rehabilitation, for example, you have to have insurance on your property in order to receive those services from us. So people come to us and they don't have insurance, and so we try to help them through our homeowners assistance fund to obtain mortgage or to obtain insurance. And so they'll bring us quotes, and some of the quotes that they're bringing to us are outrageous. They're outrageously high, considering what the cost of rebuild would be. So you should be getting insurance for the cost of rebuild, but the cost of rebuild is way out greater than the value of the home. So people are bringing us quotes sometimes for $4,000 or $5,000 for an annual premium for a $150,000 value when the home itself is worth $40,000.
Wow. Yeah, that just seems like that would really be a challenge. And well, hearing you describe it too, for somebody who is maybe they're a first-time homeowner and they're excited about their home purchase and they're having to go to these different insurance companies, and just understanding the math the way you're describing it, I imagine it's a lot for some of these folks to take on. And Jerry, you also mentioned the restricted lands there in Oklahoma, which could be different from other parts of Indian country. Can you talk a little bit more about what it takes to get folks insured on some of these restricted lands?
Right. So on restricted properties, the property owners or the homeowners don't actually own the property. Those are restricted properties. In a lot of cases, they just own the building. They don't always own the property. So a lot of insurance companies may or may not want to deal with that. So that's even a bigger challenge for a lot of people who actually are on those properties, is they find a lot of insurance companies don't even want to bother with giving them a quote. They don't always understand what the property looks like. They don't understand they don't want to work with the tribe. They don't want to work with the BIA. They don't want to do any of that. They don't want to mess with any of that. So there is a challenge with those citizens who live on restricted properties, even getting someone a lot of times to give them a quote to insure their properties.
What's the solution then? Are there ever situations where you have a tribal citizen living on a home on a restricted land and there's nobody who's willing to take on a policy for them? There's no company that wants to cover them. What happens then?
Most of the time, that's where AMRIN comes into play. That's one of the great things about AMRIN, is AMRIN is there for those properties that are on Indian country. I mean, they are there for those units that are on restricted lands. And so when we get those citizens who come to us and say, I can't find anyone who will give us who will even give me a quote, that's when we can talk to them about our Community Shield program.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Well, let's talk more about Amerind. And to do that, we have Leah Cristobal on the line. And Leah, tell us how Amerind is able to step in some of these situations and provide homeowners insurance to folks on tribal lands. And I understand, if I'm not mistaken, that Amerind themselves have had to pull back a little bit in terms of the amount of home insurance coverage that they're able to provide in certain parts of Indian Country. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So first, like Jerry said, you know, we're kind of the only option sometimes for tribal members on, you know, reservations, because, you know, Indian Country is in a rural area. So, you know, there's no access to fire departments, no access to a fire. So sometimes, you know, we're the only option, and we understand that, you know, most of Indian Country is a rural area. So, you know, we don't deny coverage based on that, or we don't, you know, increase the premium significantly. So, you know, our program is a little bit different than the traditional insurance companies. We don't require a credit check. We don't restrict, like I said, due to fire department. We don't restrict if, you know, also a lot of rural country probably has wood stoves. We don't restrict if they have a wood stove. So that's some of the things that makes us different.
All right. Leah, thank you, Jerry as well, for helping us kick off the conversation here on Native America Calling today. The topic, home insurance, what it takes for Native folks who are homeowners to get insurance on those properties. Maybe you yourself have home insurance. Maybe you live in a tribal community. Maybe you live off reservation. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and any insights you can offer or any experiences you have with regard to purchasing home insurance. Or maybe you've had to make a claim on a home insurance policy recently. Maybe you've been in one of these disaster areas, maybe one of these parts of the country that's experienced a hurricane or has been going through some of these horrible wildfires, and you know a little bit about what it takes to go through an insurance claim after your house has been damaged or worse. Give us a call. We would love to hear your story. We would love to hear from our listeners today who can join this conversation and add to the dialogue. All you got to do is grab that phone and call 1-800-996-2848. 1-800-996-2848. As talk of cuts to Medicaid increases, Native Americans are having to explain the importance of government-funded health care. At least a third of Native people rely on the program to cover health costs, and it is a secondary source of funds for the Indian Health Service. We'll hear about the future of Medicaid on the next Native America Calling.
This program is supported by AmeriCorps Vista. Through service with AmeriCorps Vista, you gain valuable professional experience and leadership skills while helping organizations in your community alleviate poverty. Find a service opportunity at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista today. That's AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Your guess is good as mine. Rob it off and go inside. Batten down the hatches. Riding out the storm. Riding out the storm. Xbox is spot with an XXX and a dot dot dot. You know I never thought I'd go and get the chills.
that memory, about as useful as a payphone, about as free as a metronome, but I guess it'll let me.
Thank you for listening to Native America Calling. We're talking about what contributes to the high costs of home insurance and how it affects Native homeowners. How has the rising cost of insurance affected you personally? Is the process of purchasing homeowners insurance different for people living in urban areas and off-reservation as opposed to those living on Native lands? Are you one of the 22% of Native American homeowners without home insurance? Please share your insights with other listeners at 1-800-996-2848. 1-800-996-2848. Our first two guests on the show today, Jerry Killer is with the Housing Authority of the Cherokee Nation, and Leah Cristobal is a business development specialist for Ameren. She's in Santa Ana Pueblo, New Mexico. And Jerry, I want to go back to you because earlier you talked about some of the costs, the high costs of getting homes insured there in Oklahoma right now for Cherokee Nation citizens. And can you give us any advice in terms of what homeowners can do to lower those costs or get more affordable insurance? But at the same time, is it always wise to go for the cheapest insurance? Are there other issues, other factors that people need to consider besides just who's offering the lowest premiums?
So one of the things that I always advise people to do, number one, is shop around. Don't always go with the very first quote that you're given, but you can always shop around. You can always compare things, compare rates, make sure that the rates and the quotes that you're getting, that you're comparing apples to apples. But some other things that you can do to make sure that you're doing really good preventative maintenance on your home. And by that, I mean making sure that you're replacing your roof when you need to, make sure that you're replacing windows when you need to, making sure that you are keeping large trees with limbs hanging over your roof. You're keeping those cut back, and you're keeping your home free from trash and debris. And I know a lot of the things that I'm saying could be costly and expensive, but a lot of times, like local housing authorities and tribes have programs that can help you take care of those things and do those things. The Housing Authority of the Cherokee Nation, we have programs that can help you take care of the cost of doing some of those things to your home so that you can make sure that your homes are well maintained so that your home is less of a risk for an insurance company. Those are the things that insurance companies like, is they don't want to see a high-risk home. And so some of those things that can help you lower your costs of insurance.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Leah, back to you. And let's talk about some of these current challenges that we're seeing in the home insurance and risk mitigation industry. Record premium increases, insurers pulling out of some parts of the country. How widespread is this trend, and do you think it will continue?
Yeah, so right now the insurance industry is in a hard market. So we have a hard market and a soft market. So right now it is widespread. We're in a hard market, which means there's going to be higher premiums. There's going to be reduced capacity for insurers, restricted coverages, strict underwriting standards. So, you know, as you said, you know, part of the hard market is some insurers leave the market. And, you know, it's caused by, you know, catastrophic events that cause large claims. So, you know, the premium increases are industry-wide. Ameren is no exception to that. In an article, you know, it was stated that over the last 2 years, the average premium increased about 24%. And this is, you know, mainly due to rising costs for building materials, labor, like Jerry stated earlier, right? Increased severity and frequency of storms. You know, Oklahoma, they used to just see it, you know, tornadoes maybe in the spring. Now they're seeing that in the fall. So all those climate change factors are affecting the insurance industry.
Well, let's talk more about that, because California recently issued a rule that will allow insurance carriers to consider climate change when setting homeowners' premiums. What do you think, Leah? Is that good or bad news for homeowners?
It's not good or bad. I mean, you know, it's something that, you know, I think we need to think about and consider, because, you know, it is affecting us. So I guess it just depends on, you know, where you're at of how it's going to affect you. But it is something definitely to consider, because, you know, we can see it has affected us.
All right. Jerry, same question with regard to home insurance carriers being able to consider impacts of climate change. What do you think the impact there is for homeowners potentially?
Well, I think it has negative, and I think it has both negative and positive factors, because I think obviously it could be a negative because it could possibly increase premiums, obviously, when you can consider weather and climate changes. But also in places like California, where it is almost impossible to get insurance, if you can now have companies that are able to take those factors in, you might have more options. You might have more companies willing to come in and provide coverage if they can take those into factor. So there might be a possibility for a little more options for homeowners. So that might be a plus side to it.
Thanks, Jerry. Leah, I want to go back to you, and let's talk more about people who are buying homes. Maybe we might have listeners right now who are in the process of purchasing a home, maybe their first home ever, or maybe they're planning and hoping to buy a home in the next few years. And as a homeowner myself, I know it's a big process, and you're dealing with mortgage companies, and you're dealing with appraisers, and you might be dealing with realtors, and you're dealing with lenders and banks. And then you've got, in addition to all that, you've got to think about the insurance. And where do you think that is on people's list in terms of all their priorities when they're buying a home, the insurance factor?
I think it's a pretty high on the list, of course, because most, you know, financial institutions, they require that, you know, there is insurance involved. So I'm sure it's pretty high. You know, it should be, it's probably at the top of the list. And I think, like Jerry said, you know, the best thing is to shop around, you know, there's deductibles to consider, there's coverages to consider. You know, some insurers might offer things that other insurances don't. There may be exclusions that, you know, are added in. So it's best to shop around and compare your quotes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Leah, you live there in one of the pueblos, and does anyone who lives in a pueblo or who has ever visited a pueblo knows there are some older homes in many of our pueblo communities, people who have been living in old adobe homes for generations, people who may have built their own homes. Maybe they never even had a mortgage, or maybe they had a mortgage at one time and it's long since been paid off. And those people might be thinking, well, I don't have a mortgage. There's no bank that's requiring me to have homeowners insurance. I'm just going to do without. They call that going bare. That's an industry term for not having insurance. What's your advice to those people? Do you think that's a wise decision, or should they be thinking about having homeowners insurance even if it's not required by a bank?
I think, you know, you always want to, your home is your number one asset, right? And I think people forget that, right? They kind of think of their car, you know, anything, because you use a car, right, every day. So it's more easier to think of your car as an asset, where I think your home, it's just, you know, people don't think about that, but your home is your number one asset, right? So we definitely, whether your home is paid off, you definitely want to get coverage. And, you know, here at Admin, we're kind of different from other insurance companies. We give the option to the policyholder to pick the coverages they want, with the exception of the dwelling limit. But say an individual was, you know, financially struggled, and they said, you know what, we just want dwelling coverage at this time. We are able to provide just dwelling coverage without adding in other coverages such as personal property or personal liability. Now, they should get those coverages, right? Because if something were to happen, we would rebuild their home, but they would have no belongings in it, such as clothing, appliances, furniture. But, you know, we do give the option of if individuals do have some, you know, financial limits that we are able to just offer them, you know, dwelling coverage, and they could add other coverages at other time.
Mm, that would be helpful. Leah, Amerind, a huge player in the home insurance industry across Indian country, not just working with Native people, but also tribes. Tell us more about some of the complexities that you have to navigate for Native homeowners and also just tribal communities in general.
I think it's just understanding what an insurance policy is for. So I think, you know, sometimes people think that insurance policy is kind of like a maintenance policy, which it isn't, you know. Insurance is for accidental and sudden loss. So I like to tell people, you know, going back to kind of your car, when you have your auto policy, you know, or when you have your automobile, you know, you have to change your oil, you know, replace your tires, replace your windshield wipers. All those are maintenance issues, and you wouldn't go to your auto carrier to file a claim, right? So I think with homeowners insurance, people get kind of confused a little bit, and they kind of think of it as a maintenance policy. So sometimes, you know, there's that complexity that comes in where, you know, they don't understand what an insurance policy is for. And so, like Jerry said, you know, just maintaining your home, doing preventative things, maintenance can, you know, increase, you know, keep the value of your home, and then, you know, keep insurance costs down as well.
Okay, that maintenance element, I think that's so important, because I know from personal experience that if a house gets like a water leak, like maybe you're gone for the weekend and a water pipe breaks and there's water damage on a floor or something like that, I know of situations where that won't be covered. That won't be covered by homeowners insurance because they'll consider that a maintenance issue. Those pipes need to be maintained. They need to be periodically upgraded or just made sure that they're in working order. So good information here from our guests on Native America Calling, our first guests on the show today, Leah Cristobal and Jerry Killer. We also have Michael Vanderwerker, who's up in Montana, and he's going to be joining the conversation soon as well. But before we do that, we've got our first caller of the day. This is Theodora, who's listening up in North Dakota on station KMHA. Hello, Theodora. What's your comment?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for hosting this program on insurance. I missed the beginning of this program, but I would say that the cost of home insurance is really increasing. And I didn't know that Amerind offered home insurance coverage in Indian country for individuals. I had two questions. Is Amerind federally funded? I'm asking since Trump is trying to freeze federal fundings. And then the second question is, has Amerind's premiums for home insurance increased in the last couple years due to the cost of climate changes, impacts of wildfires, floods, extreme weather? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Theodora. Those are good questions. I think Leah kind of answered that second question with regard to the increased premiums over the last 2 years, but I'm going to go ahead and let Leah respond to that, as well as any federal funding for Amerind. Leah, please respond.
So thank you, Theodora, for joining us. So Amerind is not federally funded, but we are a Section 17 chartered corporation. So we do have our chartering tribe, which would be the Pueblo of Santa Ana, Red Lake Band of Chippewa, and the Salish and Kootenai tribe. And two, yes, you know, just as I stated earlier, the increases are industry-wide, and unfortunately, that's no exception for Amerind as well. So we have had rate increases when it comes to our homeowners.
All right. Phone line still open. 1-800-996-2848. 1-800-996-2848. Ask a question. Share a comment. 1-800-996-2848. Michael Vanderwerker. He's in Kalispell, Montana, where he is a licensed insurance broker. Michael, hello again. Thank you for joining the show. And what can you add? Any insights, any advice, any information for a person shopping for home insurance today? What do they need to take into account?
Happy to be here. I would say your first two guests covered a lot of what needs to be looked at. And thank God that Ameren is out there providing, because I can tell you, a lot of the carriers that we deal with really don't understand Indian country or the intricacies that are involved in insuring individual homeowners there. So I'm glad that that's available. I would say when you're comparing, definitely you want to look at the financial strength of the companies. You're going to want to make sure that if there is a disaster, that they're going to have the financial reserve to be able to cover the claim. A lot of the companies right now are under severe financial pressure as a result of the fires in California, because each state has a process that needs to be gone through for rate changes and increases. And it could take sometimes a year or 2 years for rate changes to go through or be approved, if they're approved. And no one likes to pay more for insurance, but the harsh reality is that most of the insurance companies are for-profit organizations. And if they can't at least break even or make a profit, they're not going to be able to stay in that market very long. So that's another pressure that we're seeing right now. So I would say to dig deeper into the backgrounds of companies to see what their financials look like and what their rating is. AM Best does a lot of that, publishes a lot of that data.
Okay, Michael, we've got to take a break in about 30 seconds, but if you could quickly help our listeners out, how do you do that? How do you check on the financial strength of an insurance company? Where do you go look for that information?
Most of their websites would have a section that would go right to an AM Best rating sheet that would show their rating and an explanation as to what the rating entails.
Okay, thank you. Good information. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation with Michael and our other guests. And the phone lines are open for listeners who would like to join the conversation as well. 1-800-996-2848.
Repatriation is the return of ancestors and stolen culture. The Association on American Indian Affairs and the Tunica-Biloxi Tribe will host the 10th Annual Repatriation Conference February 25th, 26th, and 27th, 2025 in Marksville, Louisiana. The conference will provide expert hands-on training about domestic and international repatriation. Registration and more information available at indian-affairs.org. The Association on American Indian Affairs supports this show. Repatriation is the return of ancestors and stolen culture. The Association on American Indian Affairs and the Tunica-Biloxi Tribe will host the 10th Annual Repatriation Conference February 25th, 26th, and 27th, 2025 in Marksville, Louisiana. The conference will provide expert hands-on training about domestic and international repatriation. Registration and more information available at indian-affairs.org. The Association on American Indian Affairs supports this show. The Alaska Native Art Auction Gala is March 21st, 2025 in Anchorage, Alaska. Please consider donating art and help Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation raise needed funds. Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation's mission is to be the leader in bringing Native voices to Alaska and the nation. With your support, we're able to produce such programs as National Native News, Native America Calling, and more. Donor forms and more information about the auction can be found at knba.org. Anyone who donates art before February 14th will be automatically entered into a drawing to win $500.
Native Forward Scholars Fund scholarships are open now. Native Forward supports Native students' higher education journeys, offering over 40 scholarship opportunities, programs, and resources designed for Native students. Info and applications at nativeforward.org, who support this show. DT Track, your healthcare partner, provides access to a nationwide network of qualified healthcare temporary staff, including medical billing professionals that optimize your revenue cycles. More at dt-track.com, who support this show.
You are listening to Native America Calling. We're talking about access to home insurance in Native communities. Plenty of time to join today's conversation with comments and questions. Is affordable home insurance available in rural Native America? Let us know. 1-800-996-2848. That number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Michael Vanderwerker is on the line. He's a licensed insurance broker in Kalispell, Montana. And Michael, let's talk more about these situations where we're seeing insurance carriers pulling out of certain parts of the country. We've talked about California. There are other places perhaps as well. What advice can you offer a homeowner in that situation who suddenly finds their home insurance company is moving on? They don't want to insure where they live. What can they do?
That's a good question, and it's a huge problem. I've experienced it firsthand when I was working in New York City, and we had several hurricanes that affected New Jersey and Long Island to the point where no standard company would write a homeowner's policy within a mile or 2 miles of the shore. And in that situation, the agents association, was tasked with trying to bring carriers in from out of state. So sometimes you can get a new carrier that will enter into a marketplace. The other thing that's in place in a lot of states is what's called a FAIR plan. And that's usually a state funded, insurance facility of last resort for homeowners and property owners. Those also are under the same stresses that that a for-profit insurance company would be under, but they do have the backstop of the state government that can provide not the best coverage, but at least adequate coverage for mortgagees. So that's the situation that a lot of people find themselves in, where it's a domino effect of, as you have a company leave an area, then you've got that risk spread across fewer carriers, and it just seems to steamroll from there. So unless adequate rates are approved, you don't really see anybody new that wants to come in and do business if their actuaries are telling them that they're definitely going to lose money. It's a rough situation that it puts the consumers in, and lenders, it just all, mm-hmm. all around, not a good situation to find yourself in.
Well, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And I think what a lot of people are concerned about, are we going to reach a point in this country where there are just certain areas where you just won't be able to get insurance?
That's true. And we already are in that situation in for flood insurance. The federal flood insurance program came about because no carriers really wanted to provide flood insurance in flood-prone areas because it's just not profitable. So you may end up seeing a program like that developed. I don't know if in Washington anything like that is on the drawing board right now, but I could see there being a need for something like that if this trend continues.
Mm-hmm. Michael, you mentioned those FAIR plans in the event of a situation where an insurance carrier might pull out and the state can step in. I'm curious to know, though, those FAIR plans, are those a long-term solution for a homeowner, or are those more of a short-term solution just to kind of get them through a year or two until hopefully they can get another insurance carrier online?
Ideally, it would be a short-term solution, and the other two guests alluded to things that would help them to not have to go that route, which is preventive maintenance and you know, just doing upgrades to property, things that are within their control that they can proactively do to maybe get into a better market, a standard voluntary market. Again, though, certain things that are taking place now with these fires and other things that are outside of their control, they may end up being in a plan like that longer term than they really would want to.
Michael, let's talk about the claims process, and you're very well qualified to do that being an insurance broker. Let's say, for example, a person is in one of these areas that we're talking about that's been impacted by a flood or a wildfire or a hurricane. They have insurance, but now it's time to file a claim. Are you noticing other challenges with regard to insurance companies maybe denying more claims or maybe being more stringent about what they're going to cover?
Good question. I mean, right now, what I'm seeing in my observation is not seeing a lot of claims that are being denied for what I would say suspect reasons. But what the problem is right now is actually access to the homeowners and to the claimants. Most of the major carriers will bring in, they'll fly in their disaster teams, so they'll have satellite communication, and they'll set up a mobile home or something where people can come in and file claims. So that slows the process tremendously. And right now what you're seeing is most of the claims that are being adjudicated as a priority are ones for living, you know, living expenses and temporary housing, things like that, clothing. A lot of these people lost everything. So the first claims on the ground that are being taken care of are those types, which generally you're not going to have an exclusion for anything like that. Where this is going to get tricky is when they start digging in and start going over insurance to value and things like that. It's a huge problem that a lot of homes are not insured to the replacement value. California in particular is going to have some issues with ordinance and law coverage, where some of these homeowners may not be able to rebuild. Just the permit process is so onerous that they could be in a situation where they might not be able to rebuild there. So those types of things are going to be coming up over the next month, and I think there's going to be a lot of news highlighting that. So it remains to be seen if the insurance companies will step up and from a public perception basis maybe handle the claims a little bit differently, because it is such a huge disaster right now.
And what's your advice for a homeowner who needs to file a claim? I know you can go online and you can file a claim, or you can call a 1-800 number. I've done that myself, but what are some tips? What are some strategies that people need to know that can make the process less stressful and just simpler and more effective?
Sure. Good question. And one that a lot of people don't think about till it's too late. But one is to pre-plan. If you can go through your house with your cell phone and document your possessions, what you have in the house, that's going to save a lot of angst at the time of a loss. And recreating what you had as far as personal property after the fact can be pretty daunting. So I would say number one is to pre-plan, know what you have in the house. Second, I would say, is if you're working with an agent, like for instance, if you're with Amerind, I would contact them and say, can you help me do a home replacement evaluation so you can see what the correct amount of insurance you should have on it. So things like that beforehand are crucial in having a claim go smoothly. Now, when you actually have the claim, you'll probably get two different sides of this. From an insurance company standpoint, they generally don't like for independent adjusters to be involved. But if you're getting a lot of pushback on a homeowner's claim, sometimes that might be helpful for a homeowner who is, they're already overwhelmed. They can hire for a fee actually an outside adjuster to assist them. A lot of the carriers don't like that because it can increase cost, but the bottom line is you want the purpose of insurance is to indemnify and put you in the position you were before the loss. So if an independent adjuster can help you do that, I think that there's merit to pursuing that in a lot of instances.
Michael, nowadays, there's a lot of folks who will buy homeowners insurance without going through a broker or an agent like you. They'll just go directly to an insurance company's website and they'll purchase their insurance. Are they going to find a different claims process for folks like that as opposed to folks who purchase insurance through a broker or an agent like yourself?
They most certainly will. There's pros and cons on both sides of that argument. And I would say the younger generations are much more comfortable buying everything online. But insurance, whether it's auto or home or your business insurance, I think you're best served by having a local agent. They're going to know the area. They're going to know who you are. If they're representing insurance companies, they're probably going to get authorization to get out there and get a check, at least for additional living expenses, relatively quickly. I'm old school that way. I think when you're doing business like that, you want somebody in the community that knows your needs. They know your family. If it's a disaster like we're seeing in California, they may be experiencing the exact same thing with their home. So I always think it's better to have an agent that can be there and assist you not only in the claim, but the whole, getting the proper coverage, making sure you've got everything that you need to cover you properly, and at least giving you the options. Some coverages may be unaffordable, but at least having that offered so you can make an informed decision.
All right. Michael, let's go back and talk a little bit more about insurance companies who are working in Native communities or working on tribal lands. And you said that there's a lot that they just don't understand about working in Native communities. Can you elaborate on that? What exactly don't some of these insurance companies understand about Indian country?
And it's a good question. And I think that the two other guests had alluded to the fact that the ownership of the land versus the dwelling, I think for a lot of companies, they don't really fully understand it, or they shy away from it for some reason. I'm not an expert on Indian country by any stretch, but that from what I can see, I think that's one of the big reasons that they kind of shy away from that. And the fact that, again, most of these homes are going to be in a more rural setting, which that's not an issue exclusive to Indian country. That's for anyone. If you don't have the fire services within a certain, there's a rating from 1 to 10, 10 being unprotected. Most homeowners insurance carriers don't want to insure a home that's unprotected, regardless of if it's in Indian country or not. But the fact that most of Indian country is rural makes it a bigger problem for them as a whole.
All right. Thank you, Michael. I want to go back to Jerry Killer as we begin to wind down the show. And Jerry, earlier you talked about some of the challenges with restricted lands there in Oklahoma and other parts of Indian country. We have folks living on trust land. And any potential long-term solutions that could enable folks living on tribal lands going forward to have more insurance options as opposed to just people like Amerind? I can't imagine, Amerind's doing a great work, but there's a lot of folks out there who need insurance.
You know, Ameren is doing a great job, and, you know, they're trying to reach as many people as they can. And, you know, I don't know that there is, you know, another long-term solution. I know that there are other people that are trying, but, you know, right now the solution that we go to, the number one solution we go to is always is Ameren around here. Because, you know, Ameren has worked Indian country for so long, and so they understand Indian country. And, you know, like Michael alluded to, other people just, they don't understand it. They shy away from it. They don't want to learn it. And it just confuses a lot of people. And so what they don't understand, they don't want to learn.
Mm-hmm. Leah, I want to go back to you for our final words. What else can you share with our listeners to help them understand not only the role of homeowners insurance as part of their whole financial profile, but also some of these current issues and some of these challenges we've been talking about on the show today? Got about a minute before we have to wrap up.
Okay. I would say, you know, like I said, one is just understanding your insurance policy, you know, review your policy. Make sure it's at replacement cost and what replacement cost is, what it's going to cost to rebuild your home at this point in time. So review, you know, whatever type of policy you have, whether it's a commercial insurance policy or homeowner's policy, you know, review that policy, look at the exclusions, look at the endorsements. And then, like I said, the number one thing is maintenance, you know, check your roof after major storms. You know, look at getting a metal roof instead of a shingle roof for those. If you're in a high area that has tornadoes or high winds, you know, get a fire extinguisher in your home. You know, if you have a wood stove, let's, you know, clean the chimney at least once a year. Just preventative stuff to, you know, keep up on your home so that you can lower your insurance costs and you don't fall into that, you know, state fair plan.
All right, Leah, thank you. I think this afternoon I'm going to go out and take a ladder and get up on my roof and take a look and see how everything looks. And with that, unfortunately, we're out of time. But to our three guests on the show today, thank you so much for sharing your time and expertise. Jerry Killer, Michael Vanderwerker, and Leah Cristobal. Join us again tomorrow. We'll have a discussion about the future of Medicaid. It's a big part of healthcare for Native Americans, and potential cuts are on the horizon. I'm Sean Spruce. Enjoy the rest of your day.
MFA programs at the Institute of American Indian Arts, IAIA, honor your voice and vision. IAIA is a tribal university whose low residency programs empower artists, writers, and community leaders through innovation and indigenous-centered education. Whether your path is creative writing, studio arts, or cultural administration, IAIA fosters respect, dialogue, and community. Applications accepted through February 15th at iaia.edu, who support this show.
Support by the American Indian College Fund. The American Indian College Fund provides millions of dollars of scholarships to thousands of Native students every year. Tribal citizens of every age and experience are eligible. The deadline for applications is May 31st, and you can find everything you need to apply at collegefund.org. That's collegefund.org, or by phone at 800-766-FUND. Education is the answer.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Sandpoint and King Cove. GCI offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and pricing as in Anchorage. More information is available at gci.com/internet. Ain't no hold.